This is the Hollywood Raw Podcast, hosted by entertainment veteran Dax Holt and street journalist Adam Glynn.
Welcome to the Hollywood Raw Podcast, Raw Rundown. My name is Adam Glynn. On the other side of the country is Dax Holt. We are 100% of the Hollywood Raw team. It's not 50%, we're 100%. Unless you want to consider Cam, our producer. We'll give him 40. So we'll take, make a good cut. My voice is going. How are you,
buddy? I was going to say, are you okay? What's happening over there?
Dude, I've been back and forth of just being sick. Like, I've been struggling this winter. This is like the first winter in the East Coast where we've actually, it's not been snow, but yeah, it's been cold. It's been cold here. It hasn't been fun. I've been out a couple days this week. But it's just been, this time of year just sucks here. Bottom line, January is a long month, you know? So, fortunately we're out of January. We got one more month to go with February. And, next week I'm going to be out in Vegas for the Super Bowl, which I'm going to be honest with you, Dax, I'm not that excited for the Super Bowl as I usually am.
What if you see Taylor Swift walking around?
That will never happen. In fact, nobody will see Taylor Swift. Can you imagine you see Taylor Swift walking around? I wonder what she's going to do for the Super Bowl. I wonder if she goes to any parties or goes to see one concert. I guess she'd maybe check out Post Malone because he's doing a show. But that's just like a stretch. I don't even know if she would like walk outside.
I don't think it's going to happen. Doesn't she have the Grammys literally like the night before or something like that?
Yeah. Well, are the Grammys this weekend? The Grammys are this weekend, right? And then next week.
Oh, because Pro Bowl is this weekend. So yeah. So Travis can't go. He can't go to the Grammys. I saw that story this week because he's got obligations. So, okay. So Pro Bowl is this weekend.
But the thing about the Super Bowl this year is last year was incredible. It was in Arizona. So there's no nightlife. There's no clubs. There's no venue spaces for these parties that come in, these huge Super Bowl parties. And that's what's fun about it is that they make these tents like in Arizona. They create their own club. They bring out this huge parking lot. They make beautiful like tents, which sounds weird, but like the way they build this whole party in the middle of nowhere is the cool part about it. And it's a fun experience. With that said, when you go to Vegas, you're in a club. So all the parties for the most part are in clubs. So what they're doing, it's like, it's not a bigger club night. It's just, it's not a bigger party. It's just a party in a club. It's not different than any other club night at Marquee or Tao or wherever.
And when they do that, you can't see them walk in because it's a nightclub. So they have 1,000 different entrances to get into this place.
Yeah. I'm curious if people are going to stay out late as they once did. Like what was good about Arizona, it was like the night ended at 2 a.m. And it sounds weird, but it was fun to like, okay, you know, when everyone had to go home. Vegas could be weird, like open up all, staying up to 4 or 5 in the morning, which I don't think a lot of these people will be staying up that late. And I don't know. I'm curious what celebrities come out for Vegas, because Vegas to me is just not that exciting. I don't know. It's not as exciting as it once was.
That reminded me of a time that I got to feel like a celebrity once in my life when back in the day for my bachelor party, I think it was, it wasn't my bachelor. It was my buddy's bachelor party. And we got a table at Poetry. Do you remember Poetry inside of Caesars ago? We had a buddy that like ran the place. And this was back when I was on TMZ all the time. They let us pull up in the back side of Caesars, open up like a back pantry door and like walk in super cool in the back.
Wow. That's
awesome. Felt so cool. I didn't have to do the long trek through Caesars to get to it. And I was like, damn, this is what it feels like. And then that was the last time.
Yeah, of course. I never had to do. You know what's so funny? I mean, I have some pretty wild Vegas stories, but like one of my low parts of Vegas is I went out, I was by myself. I was in Vegas for the Conor McGregor Floyd Mayweather fight. And the next day, Conor McGregor was doing a party at one of the beach clubs. You know, I think it was Tao Beach Club or day party. And I waited in line and tried to go in. And when I got to the front, they wouldn't allow me in because I was a journalist. And like, you can't come in. You're a journalist. I go, guys, I was actually staying at the Wynn Hotel. I was like, I'm staying here. They're like, no, you can't come in. You're a journalist. I'm like, hey, listen. Not to say that part of the reason I stayed here was to come to this party and they would not allow me in. So what I do, I complained to the front desk and I said, this is bullshit. You guys wasted my time. You won't allow me in this party. I'm not here working. I took vacation days. I'm here on vacation just to experience it. And I complained like, like a good Jewish boy, and I got a free room. So I was like, you know what? Whatever. I came out. I got a free room. So that was my Vegas story. But this year I go out Tuesday, and we'll see what parties I get into. We'll do an episode recap because it should be pretty interesting. On to today's episode. You know what we do. We do the top 10 stories of the week. We call it the Raw Rundown. The stories are, you know, we push it on data, what we find the most important stories of the week, and what you guys are interested in, or what we think you're interested in. So we're going to get to that. Before we get to that, we love reviews. It's the best thing to do to support this podcast. It just means a lot to us personally. We just need that ego booster. It makes us feel good. Dax, do you have a review ready for us?
Yeah, I got one. All right. This one comes from H. Brook HS. 5 stars. Title is great, guys. I love listening to your podcast. You give honest points of view. I love you even more for loving pink and supporting Israel. Thank you. Love it. Love it.
You guys rule. You support Israel, support pink. I'm loving this podcast. HBook HS. Nonetheless, I appreciate the review. And again, if you guys already gave us a review, grab your spouses, grab your friend, let them do it. Give us a weird shout out. Say a few kind words. Honestly, it helps out the algorithm. That's the best thing. That's the best way to explain it.
And feel free to put pink in as many comments as possible. I will always support that as well.
Yes, Dax is the treasurer of the pink fan club. So
treasurer, I'm the fucking president, vice president, treasurer, secretary, intern, all of
it. He brings the cupcakes for the weekly meetings. It's really nice. You're a nice boy, Dex. On to the Raw Rundown, the top 10 stories of the week, starting with number 10.
Number 10, Heidi Klum giving more details that no one really needed to know, but we are interested. So Heidi Klum talking about sex and vibrators and German sausages and all kinds of stuff on Call Her Daddy. So she sat down and just divulged a whole lot of information about her life. You know, she is married to Tom Kulitz. What the fuck band was he in again?
The Strokes? I don't know. One of those.
No. Tokyo Hotel. There we go.
Tokyo. Yeah, it's sort of close to the Strokes. Young guy, though, too.
Yeah, he's like 16 years younger than her, and she talked about that a lot on the podcast. But, you know, she started talking about her sex life and the men she's been with. She said to, what's her name, Alex? She goes, look at my past. I don't have a type. I've been with someone bald, really old, long hair, skinny. She goes, their personalities all have been very, very different. At the end of the day, you want someone who you feel comfortable with, someone who makes you feel great and sees you also and continues to see you. And then, you know, talked about her favorite vibrator, which is, I guess, the wand.
Ooh, one of my favorites.
The Harry Potter edition.
Yeah, interesting. Yeah. Yeah, good sound effect, Dax.
Yeah, right. And then she didn't really shy. Like, her and Tom have always been pretty, I feel like, sexual and public. Like, they put on all the PDA all the time. You always see them on, like, yachts around the world, just hanging out and kissing and being all over each other. She just seems like a very sexual person, but she's also German. You know what I'm saying? Like, I feel like sexuality
in DNA.
It's just different. Overseas, like, they're not so prude and shy about stuff. Like, you see her all the time just topless on boats, and she's not a prude person, let's just say that. And then she does say she does miss her occasional sausage when living in America, but she was talking about food at that point. And then Alex had basically said, well, you do love your German sausage, right? Because referring to her husband, because her husband's also German. Anyway, it was just a fun, interesting conversation. She did get into a point when her daughter, Lenny, her 19-year-old daughter, talked about finding her sex closet and where she keeps all of her toys. I guess she found the closet with her friends. That's not awkward as fuck, right?
Yeah, this girl, she has a sex closet, but her daughter, Lenny, I saw photos of her maybe a couple months ago, and she was on a boat, and her daughter, she's above, I could say this because she's legal. She's got an insane body, great body, just like her mom. You know, she's, and the way the photos came, I was like, oh, this is going to be the start of this girl's career. And in fact, we've been seeing a lot more of the mother and daughter duo recently. Heidi, I would say she's been one of the smartest models, and I don't say it in a, but as far as business wise, as far as really extending
her career and everything.
I mean, to be doing which, I mean, to be a host on America's Got, a judge on America's Got Talent still, considering the fact she's just a model and she's just been really prolonging her career in front of the camera. I know a lot of other people, models like Cindy Crawford or more, Kathy Ireland, have gone behind the camera in businesses. But Heidi has really extended her career. I don't know how, I don't know why, but she's
got a great personality. That's part of it. People love her. I ran into her when I was at Access Hollywood a while back. Nicest woman, like so wonderful, so just like fun. And like what you see on TV is what I saw behind the scenes too. She was just dope. By the way, she did describe her sex life. She likes to have sex for hours. She said she called her sex life endlessly hot and wild when she was asked to describe it in three words. She goes, I think it's easier for women than it is for men. So does the man have that much stamina? No. And the men are usually that the ones that can't go for that long. But she seems wild, dude. She is an interesting lady. And it's conversations like this that continue to keep her relevant. I think. Yeah, because she knows what to do.
She knows the business. She knows what people will click on. And of course, going on that podcast, they know they're going to get into it. I'd rather just someone who's older goes on, just be honest. Like, yeah, I'm not having sex. I haven't done anything in years. But always, like, when they do talk about it, it makes a lot of news. She's always, and it's so funny. I'm not saying to Google Heidi Klum naked, but if you Google Heidi Klum naked, you'll see she's always on the beach topless. She's very comfortable. And again, like you said, it's more of like in her.
She does. The amount of photos I pitched out at TMZ over the years of like, I mean, it started to get kind of too redundant. Like, how you can only pitch out Heidi Klum topless on a yacht so many times when you're like, people don't care anymore.
Yeah, good for her. You know, like good for her. She's having fun still. Dax, number 9.
Danny Masterson moved to maximum security prison. This, by the way, is the same prison that once held Charles Manson. So, you know, Danny Masterson, who is basically serving 30 years to life for raping two women, he was transferred from North Kern State Prison in Delano, California to Corcoran, I believe is how you say it, state prison in California, and where he will serve a majority of his sentence. Basically, the judge denied that his request for bail last week, claiming that he was a flight risk because there was no wife to go home to, is what the judge said. And like, talk about a little stab in the heart right there, because his wife filed for divorce. But he will be eligible for parole at the age of 66 in July of 2042, according to state prison records. So he'll be living in the level 4 housing unit, which is the highest tier of security available at the prison. Inmates here are placed at this level when they need extra protection or supervision. Obviously, he's a high profile inmate. You know, you don't need people stabbing him or whatever just because they want to be able to say, I took out Danny Masterson. You know, that's not uncalled for. Sure. He will reportedly be under 24-hour surveillance in case he has signs of mental distress, which includes around-the-clock video monitoring, along with cell checks by prison guards every 30 minutes. If he does show signs of distress, or feel like he's in danger, he'll be placed in a small protective housing unit. But anyway, yeah, so Charles Manson spent 10 years here in the protective housing wing. Also, the man who was convicted of killing Robert F. Kennedy was there. And then the dating game killer, Rodney, was also there. So crazy. Yeah. What a change in life. You go from this Hollywood star to you are literally in the same prison as Charles Manson.
Yeah, I got to imagine.
Was.
Like, being in that prison for so long, and then once you eventually get out, how much that changes you as a person. I mean, it just, you know, the PTSD they could get from that. But my two wonders of this is, A, if Danny Masterson in jail will still be a practicing Scientologist, and then B, will any of the cast members that he worked with, will they reach out to him? What I mean, like, just write a letter. Hey, man, I hope you're doing okay. And just, I know it's a difficult situation. I don't think either party would ever address
it. The last person who wrote a letter about Danny Masterson got ripped apart, and that was Mila Kunis. I don't think anyone's gonna be writing any letters anytime soon.
So you'd say Wilmer Valderon just wipes his hands clean and says, I have no longer have any sort of relationship with Danny Masterson. He's like, I'm not writing a letter to him. It's not, it's a no-win situation. But I wonder in church if you are a practicing Scientologist in church or how that works. I don't know if it gives up on the religion or.
Listen, I am. I don't even want to talk Scientology.
You're scared.
Because you don't know where they're at. They could be right behind me for all I know right now.
Man, that is true. That is true. Dax, actually, speaking of which, they're at the Scientology church in LA has been having a lot of issues with these streamers going online and kind of making fun, messing with, I would say making fun, but kind of bullying, harassing the people that are trying to get people to come in their doors. And it's been a big issue there at the, because of the crowds outside the church protesting outside the church. It's been a, you know, it's been an issue for them. So I wonder, they haven't really addressed it, but I don't know. Random thought, random. If anybody watches the anti-Scientologist streamers online or TikTok, it's been a pretty unique to watch. Dax, the number eight story.
Alec Baldwin pleads not guilty to the Rust manslaughter charge. I feel like this case has been going on for so long, and I feel like there's never any like progress with it. It's very strange, but he pled not guilty to the Rust shooting, avoiding a formal arraignment on the charge. He faces up to 18 months in prison if convicted of negligently shooting Helena Hutchinson, the cinematographer from the film, back in October of 2021. He was indicted by a New Mexico grand jury on January 19th, 1 year after prosecutors initially filed charges against him that were later dropped. The actor is scheduled to appear for a video arraignment via Google Meets on Thursday, but opted to instead to waive the appearance. So he remains free without bail. Under the terms of the release, he cannot possess firearms or drink alcohol, and does not have, he can't have contact with witnesses in the case except for business reasons related to the release of the film. This also forbids him from soliciting witnesses to participate in a behind the scenes documentary about the making of the film. That would be, is he literally doing a behind the scenes on this film?
I don't know.
Cause that's weird. Right. So he's weird. Basically maintained the whole time that he didn't pull the trigger and said that he has been trained not to point a gun at someone and fire. Again, I go back to I fucking hate Alec Baldwin. I don't like him at all. I really don't like him.
Dax has got beef.
I feel so conflicted in this story that like, the guy clearly didn't go out of his way to shoot someone. You know what I'm saying? Like, there was no malintent here. Like, there's no way that he wanted to take out the cinematographer. It just feels like a really, really horrible accident. And there's people on set that was their job to maintain this. I think this, to me, feels like a case of, like, you're just doing it because he's a big name.
I would say I agree with you pretty much with everything you said. Because it is a big name, because there's so, it's such a publicized case, they just want to make sure every single thing is covered.
But I feel like any normal situation, you'd be like, you were on set, you were filming a movie, you were handed a prop gun, you fired the prop gun. Like,
this is not the first time something like this has happened, by the way.
I know, this has happened before. But the amount of scrutiny on Alec Baldwin, again, don't like the guy, but I also feel like this feels a little unfair, and I may be totally off basis here and people may disagree with me, but I don't understand why he's having to go down this path. If there was like some premeditated shit where you had heard him talking crap on Helena, you know, saying that she was the worst cinematographer ever and he wanted to take her out, okay, maybe I feel like maybe we'd go down there, but why is this all on him? Like,
it's a terrible situation for everyone. I mean, this is absolutely terrible. It's a nightmare for him. It's a nightmare for the family, for Helena's family. It's a nightmare for everyone who worked on this film. It's really just a troubling thing. Why it's being prolonged, I don't know. Maybe because they just want to make sure they have every single situation of this covered. Maybe someone, you know, part of me thinks that's maybe someone out there who has a lot of money, who's not a fan of Alec Baldwin, just throwing it out there. This is a theory that they just don't like him and said, you know what, let's give him the runaround and then just keep it going. Cause for me, I would think it's just a, know, a 1-2 end of story. And I don't know what the deciding factor is with this.
Like, if you rented a car and you got in the car and you got out and then found out the brakes were cut and you couldn't stop and smash into someone and died, would you blame the rental car company or the person driving the car?
Yeah.
I don't know. Yeah, that's how I feel about it. If someone handed him a prop gun and he thought it was a prop gun, I don't know.
But maybe the story itself is just kind of, there's not too much new. There's not much new news to the story. Mm-hmm. It's just the outlets just keep kind of feeding into the story. Does that make sense? Like, there could be the littlest, maybe new knowledge of this case, and they make it into a story, which goes into the Google alerts because they know people will click on it. That's another theory of mine. Just not exactly with this part of the story, but in general with the Alec Baldwin story. Dax, the number 7 story.
Vanderpump Rules star Lala Kent shares that she is conceiving a second baby via IUI. So she said, "I don't need a man in my life. I'm going to have a baby anyway." And she's like, I've stopped looking for a guy and realized, why can't I be happy and have more children by myself? So she has now opened up about this whole procedure to Cosmopolitan. And she said, this is where basically they inject sperm surgically into the uterus to fertilize an egg by using a sperm donor. And so she already does have the one daughter, Ocean, who's 2.5 now, who she shares with her ex, Randall Emmett. But she is noting that, look, there's a lot of relationships in life. I haven't really found the best one, but I shouldn't stop down my life and wait for someone when I want a family. And I get that. Totally. She's like, totally. Why do I have to wait for another person to be involved to have that family I want? So, she goes, this whole IUI process, she's quoted saying, "Very much like having scientific sex. It's the most wild thing in the world. When my doctor was explaining it to me, I was like, oh, so it's just like I'm in the bedroom with someone, but I don't have to wait for the big O. Just one and done. It's just get it done. The most valuable thing comes out of a man, which is a sperm, and I'll be on my way." So anyway, she is opening up, which I think is a really positive thing, because there's people that don't want to talk. Like, there for so many years, IVF and IUI and all this stuff was, I feel like, taboo for a lot of people, or they didn't want to share this with the world. And I think when you make it normal, there's other people out there that may be sitting back going, oh, why haven't I found the love of my life? And I want to be a mom, and I want to be, happy. And maybe this gives them the courage to go out and, be happy.
Yeah. I saw her this week, actually, in New York. I was driving home and I saw a paparazzi photographer outside Watch What Happens. And I was like, oh, maybe something's going on. And then about 15 minutes later, she came out. She had like 4 like hardcore fans there waiting for her. And I'm not a Vanderpump guy. I've met a few of the people on the show and most of them have been pretty nice. She was nice to the fans. When I asked her like one question, my question was regarding like how hard it is to find out who the donor is. Like how, when someone's donating the sperm, like what did you do to find out who's the right person, the right candidate for the sperm you're going to get? And her answer was, you'll find out this season on Vanderpump Rules. Just stop and talk to me. You're a fucking waitress. let's be real. Enjoy the moment, but at the end of the day, whatever. She was nice. I sound angry, which I am, but she was nice to the fans. It was just interesting to see like these people come up and like they're hardcore fans of her. Like, you changed my life. I'm like, am I missing something here? What is going on? But she knows what she's doing now. Like, these Vanderpump Rules people, they know how to kind of, they use Scandoval all to their advantage, from Ariana down to Sandoval. They know, let's keep this thing going because this is good for business.
100%. And that thing literally revitalized the show.
It did. It saved the show. In fact, like, they need,
I wonder if
show.
In the back of their mind, all of them are thankful for it. I mean, they all turn their backs on Tom, but at the end of the day, they should be thanking him for keeping that show going, really, because I feel like it was kind of on its last thread and now everyone's interested in it again.
Yeah. All right, Dex, number six.
Here's a little update on Bruce Willis. Demi Moore addressed his dementia battle, saying that he is actually doing very well. She sat down on Good Morning America. She was doing an interview, and obviously she was asked about him because she's very close to him and his new wife. And they're all like one big family. You see her posting a lot with all of them. And, you know, it's just a sad story, honestly. She basically said, I think given the givens, he is doing very well. What I'll say to my children, which is the important to just meet them where they're at and not hold on to what isn't, because there's a great beauty and sweetness and loving and joy out of that. So I think you have to, what she's basically saying is you can't expect them to be who they were in the past. You have to accept for what the situation is right now and live in the moment.
I think that's a great quote. I think she answered that perfectly. That was and you know, when they get those questions like that, I'm curious if A, they work with their publicist on the answer, and B, do they go to Good Morning America? Like, how does it work beforehand? Like, hey, can we ask about Bruce? Is that question pre-rehearsed? What are your thoughts on that, Dax?
Shoot. I think out of respect, they probably said, do you mind if we ask about him? Because people want to know. And I think she's open about it. You know what I'm saying? Like, she posts a lot with the family, and I think his dementia battle has been something that a lot of people have talked about and is very publicized, and they all know that she's close. If she wasn't as close to him, that would be weird asking about your ex-husband if you weren't still close to them, you know?
Yeah.
But she's in it with the family.
And I wonder if that answer, she was like, it really... Again, her answer was perfect.
Mm-hmm.
I wonder if the answer was like she... I'm just curious how it works, how the sauce is made, if she works with her publicist on the response.
And I'm sure that she called up Emma, who is his current wife, because Emma also has released statements and put stuff out. And I think they're trying to be transparent, and I think that they are trying to use this as a teachable moment for a lot of other families that are dealing with dementia, and just how horrible it really can be to watch your loved one kind of like disappear in front of your eyes mentally, you know what I'm saying? And
yeah,
it's just really, really sad disease.
Very sad. I mean, if you look up the symptoms of what he has, it's probably difficult to be around. Because again, this guy was... one of the manliest men's out there for a long time. And this guy was an action star. And now to see what he's going through now, it's got to be very difficult for the family. But it sounds like they're in a good place and glad he's doing well. Dax, number five.
Kanye West snatches a TMZ photog's phone all over question about his wife, Bianca. So if you didn't see this video, it's been pretty much everywhere this last week. But basically, there's a camera person out in LA who, as he was going to Charlie Walk's Walk of Fame ceremony, asked him about whether or not he is, quote unquote, controlling his wife and banning her from social media. And Kanye lost his marbles, grabbed her phone, and then proceeded to berate her for about 3 minutes straight on why should she be asking him about his wife, how dare her, all this kind of stuff, just ripped her apart while she stood there taking it. And then at the end of it, says, I'll double your paycheck if you want to come work for me or something like that. It was very weird. I don't know. I feel like you and I had different opinions on this. What was your opinion on this whole video?
Kanye is not right here. He's not right here, but he's not wrong either. You know, again, I talked to a few other colleagues who do the job, and I wanted their opinion on it as well. And I know Melanie who went through it, and here's the part that he's not wrong. It's not right to get physical with any person there at all. You know, him grabbing her phone, it's not the right thing to do.
Mm-hmm.
She didn't do anything illegal because it's a public street. She tries to ask him a question. So she didn't do anything illegal. He shouldn't have grabbed her phone. As far as berating her, I mean, I was like, why did you feel like you could go after her? And then when that guy, there's an incident with him last week in a parking lot, he didn't feel like he should go after a guy in the parking lot who's kind of going at him. Again, it could have been a different circumstance where he was just in a different mind frame that day. And then also when he was berating her, he called himself a superhero. I was like, dude, I was with you until you called yourself a superhero. And then when he offered her a job, it seemed like he was just mumbling at that time. Like, he just didn't know what to say. He was just so upset and angry. And I understand that kind of thing. Sometimes if you get upset and angry, you don't know what you're kind of saying or doing because you're
so
just
do you feel, so frustrated. Do you feel like,
but wait, hold on, Dex. But you, why was she a filming with her cell phone? If you're a professional, what you do, you don't shoot your cell phone, you shoot your camera. There's a difference from that because you kind of know who's kind of talking the questions. Number two, the way she said the question, the way she phrased the question, it wasn't good wording. You know, as a guy who's been doing this for a long time and asked other guys, she didn't handle herself well. To walk alongside him and ask him questions in that type of manner and the way she asked the question, it wasn't the best question to be asked. She could have asked it in a different way. And even though it's legally right, doesn't mean illegally allowed, doesn't mean that it's morally right. And you need to know how to kind of deal with the situation. And, you know, it's a sensitive subject. And yeah, I don't think she handled the situation right. And part of me feels like she wanted that when it all went down, she sort of didn't mind. She's like, okay, this video is going to go big, you know?
No, like, Melanie looked like she was embarrassed as fuck the whole time.
Listen, I know.
I would say, look, I think that she didn't even know that Kanye was going to be there. I listened to her talking to Charlie Cotton on one of the TMZ podcasts about the whole thing. And she didn't know he was going to be there. She spotted him, grabbed her cell phone and started recording.
Why did she grab her cell phone and not her camera?
It was probably just a quick moment. She was headed to the Walk of Fame thing, spotted him, whipped out her cell phone. Again, what the fuck does it matter? Everyone who has become a paparazzi with their phone, he's used to millions of people whipping out their cell phones around him. He just has a screw loose and flips very quickly. It doesn't, even if someone asks you a screwed up question, you don't rip their cell phone out of their hand. No, we all know
you
that.
You don't do that.
You don't do it. You're just going to get yourself in more trouble. Calling yourself a superhero. Sorry, dude. You're wearing a fucking mask the whole time. And then he's basically telling people, record me yelling at her. So I'm like, so wait a second, you're going to grab someone's cell phone and say, don't record. But then on the flip side, be like, make sure you're recording all of this.
No, he didn't say don't record. He's like, you're really going to ask, you know, he was like, that's
no, he
the
grabbed
way
her
he
phone,
answered the
question. So she
he definitely
record.
Grabbed her phone, but so he grabbed her so phone. He knew there's other, but there's other people recording, said, hey, record this. You know, I'm going to ask you questions now. And the question was a very dark question, which wasn't, we don't even know if it's factually true. Again, you could have worded the question a lot of different ways. And I stand by it. I say, you know, it was more of like a challenge question rather than you give them a platform. Say, hey, listen, what I would do if I was in a situation, I would rephrase it. I would say, listen, there's some stories going on about this, you know,
yeah,
just set the record straight. But no, she did not ask that question. She said, phrase exactly what she said because I don't have the exact quote of what her question was, but any other person say because it's such a sensitive subject, you would ask it in a different way where it's not biased.
Yeah, but
say,
if he is not controlling his wife, then this wouldn't be a sensitive subject. You know what I'm saying? Like, he could have looked and been like, absolutely not. What are you talking about? Like, these media outlets that are reporting this are out of their mind. And
well,
then
it was her outlet that did it, so.
Yeah, but there's a couple outlets that are saying that he's controlling her because she's showing up naked on every, you know, Instagram post of his. And so people are starting to feel like it feels weird that she doesn't have an Instagram account that she's posting her own naked photos on, that he's doing it all, whatever. It doesn't even matter. The way he responded makes you feel like it's even more of a controlling situation, because if he wasn't, he would have just been like, no, what are you talking about? Like, you're out of your mind, and
like
moved on with his life.
He wasn't right here. He was not right. But he wasn't right. He's not wrong. He's not right. He's not wrong. He shouldn't have gotten physical. He should have maybe addressed it in a different way. With that said, coming from a guy who's been doing this job, you don't do it in that type of manner. And then also, you know, you mess with the bull, you get the horns. That's also too. I mean, I've been put in very dangerous situations, and just, it's not what you do. Dax, let's move along to number four.
Margot Robbie breaking her silence on the big old Barbie Oscar snubs this year. Basically, she talked about it and said, listen, there's no way to feel sad when you know you're this blessed, which I love. She goes, obviously, I think Greta should have been nominated as a director. What she did is a once in a lifetime, a once in a career, once in a lifetime thing that she pulled off. It really is. But it's been an incredible year for all of the films. So I think that it was such a beautiful way to put, like, screw you, I'm winning out in the end. Like, she is a producer on Barbie, which raked in over $1 billion. So I'm sure she is making a ridiculous amount of money off of this whole thing and how big it's really gotten. But she's like, listen, I'm not going to let an Oscar snub get to me. I don't think when she walked into this movie, there is no way in hell she thought that this would ever be an Oscar contending movie. You know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah.
There's no way. 100%. I think they went out there to change perceptions or whatever, make a movie that would work well in today's culture. But I don't think she ever thought she'd be nominated for an Oscar. And so it continued down that road. And listen, she's winning out. This is not a woman who is hurting for Oscar nominations. You know what I'm saying? She's had one of the most successful careers I've seen in Hollywood in a short span of time.
Dax, I couldn't say it any better. You said it perfectly. I agree with you 1,000%. I have nothing to add to it because you said it perfectly. I'm kissing your ass here, bud. Dax, the number three story.
Oh, people love when rumored couples start deleting photos of each other off Instagram because it just means what's happening. But Kyle Richards and Morgan Wade are sparking about a bit of fan confusion after Morgan deleted all of Kyle Richards' photos from her Instagram, completely cleared it off. And so people are like, wait, is this rumored couple not together anymore? I mean, the best part is, they're not even officially a couple, but deleting photos makes them unofficially uncoupling. I don't know. Some of these stories, I'm like, people look, how do you even notice that someone deleted photos off? Like, who out there is surfing through and goes, oh man, this person deleted all the photos? Like, that's,
you know what it is? It's someone really close to the couple, mm-hmm. and then they kind of like push it out there, I think. That's my theory.
Oh, so you think it's more of a leaked out situation?
I think,
like, no one noticed, but hey, as the PR rep, let me let one of the outlets know that all the photos were deleted so that everyone talks about it.
That's my theory.
Because she's going to be releasing music, right?
It gets people talking.
Mm-hmm. She's going to release music. It'll be a whole thing. Everyone's talking. God, why did we get sucked into this shit?
Dude, I don't know. I'm so over this whole Morgan Wade, Kyle Richards thing. Are they or aren't they a couple? It's but people love the story. I just want there to be closure to them. I want to know, hey, is there? I just don't feel like we've gotten good answers from either of them of like, are you guys dating? Are you not dating? Are you a couple? Are you not? But yet again, they're also smart enough to go, no, let's get people talking. Let's make people curious because it's good for business. I just want closure to it. I want to move on from them.
Yeah, just say we're dating. We're not dating. Well, I guess they didn't. They kind of said they're not dating.
They said they're not, but like, it's got to be a stronger statement. Like, it's got to be like, no, we're not dating. Like, no, be direct on what's going on here. And not like I care. It's just
the more we're talking about it,
everyone wants to move on.
I'm literally getting annoyed even more as I'm listening to us even reason this out even more. We're done.
Yeah.
Moving on.
Number two.
Britney Spears shocked a lot of people when she issued a public apology to Justin Timberlake this week and even praised him on his new album. So if you know, I think we talked about it last Friday, how he released a new song called Selfish, which Britney fans actually band together because, you know, a lot of those Britney supporters don't like Justin Timberlake, especially after in her memoir kind of talked about how hurt she was by him, talked about having an abortion because he didn't want a kid. Like, so there's a lot of feelings, strong feelings when it comes to Britney's fans and Justin Timberlake. And so they were shocked to see her go on her Instagram and say, wow, like, I really actually like his new song. I'm really sorry. You know, if for any of those people that I may have hurt with my book. But the crazy thing is her fans, don't like him so much that they band together to basically push up her old song, Selfish. It's a 13-year-old song that she did, to number one on the charts. To
so
basically trump his Selfish song out there, and all around the world, it became number one over him.
Isn't that great? That's awesome. Good job. Good job. That is so smart and strategic and fun and funny. Yeah. Hit him where it hurts. Great.
And
great,
you know,
job.
And her music videos for Oops, I Did It Again and I'm a Slave for You also took the top two spots on iTunes music video charts, with him coming in at number three. I mean, damn, that's brutal right there.
Smart move. That is what a pack. I give you guys credit. Props. Seriously. You guys. Bravo.
That Bravo is to the Britney
I'm
fans.
I'm all about, like,
that is a whole nother. All, yeah. It's a whole nother level of petty, and I love it.
Yeah, I love petty. I love payback. And you guys hit him where it hurts. Like, it's been over 25, 30 years now since this couple, and we still have not let them, like, go their separate ways. They've had no contact, no run. It's nothing in 20, but somehow we still keep running it back. Bravo, Britney fans. Amazing. But Justin also made a lot of news this week, right?
Well, this is actually,
well, that goes into our number one story.
Yeah, this is the number one story. Justin Timberlake not apologizing, though. So this is he has pissed off a lot of people. It looks like, you know, and this is right on the heels of Britney apologizing to him. He had one of his shows. It was a single night performance in New York City on Wednesday. And basically he gets out on stage and he says, and I quote, I want to make an apology to abso-fucking-lutely nobody. And then
Conor McGregor quote. Yeah.
And a lot of people are like, whoa, 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 whoa. Britney apologizes to you, and then you turn around and say, you know, and then goes into singing Cry Me a River. So a lot of people are like, wait, was this a direct hit at Britney Spears? You're not accepting her apology. You're saying F you. But on top of it, this was the 20-year anniversary of him at the Super Bowl with Janet Jackson, where he ripped off her top and exposed her boob. And so people are like, wait, is this a not an apology to Britney or a not apology to Janet Jackson? Or shit, people even got into, is this not an apology to your wife, who you've obviously had a lot of issues with as well, Jessica Biel? So everyone's like, who are you not apologizing to? And this is some really bad timing to say this right as your album comes out, because now you pissed off Britney fans, you pissed off Janet fans, and you're expecting to sell albums.
Yeah, I mean, Justin is trying to sell albums right now. He's back in, you know, he's got a world tour that he's trying to do. And thing is, mm-hmm. he can't come back as a failure. He's got to succeed here. If he works on this new album, this new tour, and doesn't do well, that's going to become a story. So he's got big shoes to fill, because he's been successful his whole career. I'm confident he will be successful with his new music and tour. But, you know, we're in a social media world, and it's a much more difficult climate because people talk. So he did do the show.
If they turn their back on you, it'll make you sink. We've seen it time and time again. If people band together, just like they did to bring Britney's song up the charts, I've seen people band together to cancel someone as well.
He did the show last night at Irving Plaza, which is a small venue. And it's funny. They're like, hey, Justin Timberlake is doing a free concert in New York City. It's not a free concert. You can't get tickets to this concert. In fact, like, I saw people who were there. I'm like, oh, these are all people in the industry. I hate when people say, oh my God, free concert, because it's never free. Sirius Radio does these concerts at, like, the Apollo, and I've been fortunate to get a lot of these, like, get in. But when you go to those concerts, 70% of that crowd is, like, people in the industry. And then the other 30% is like, oh, we're going to give those free tickets. And this one's such a small venue, and I saw the people there. I was like, oh, these are people in the industry. This is not giving out free tickets. I saw the set list for the show. Did you look at the set list?
No.
So the set list for the show was good. He did all the hits. It wasn't like a 2.5-hour concert, but he did the songs you want him to hear. He starts with he does Sexy Back, Love Stone. He does Girlfriend. He did the early, the first solo stuff. He does Rock Your Body, Cry Me River. He did 15 songs total. which is a good show. Like, his 43rd birthday.
I feel like a 10 set show by Justin would be good. But once you start, because I think I looked at a set list last week for that other show that he did. And I, after about 10 songs, I was like, I don't know half of these. So yeah. I wouldn't be excited.
Yeah, he did 15 songs. He did mostly the cover, mostly like the hits. It was like one of those shows that's fun to see live, especially like in that situation where it's like you're so close. It's not a bad seat there. Like yeah. You could see like the freckles on his face. I love like that's a cool experience. With that said, I'm curious to hear his whole album. Like the first song is good, but I feel like personally Justin Timberlake. I keep saying Justin Bieber. Justin Timberlake's music. It's like, all right, he makes like three good songs, and then the rest of the album is just like the same sound and very blah. Mm-hmm. That's just a personal feeling to me.
I also feel like he didn't like acknowledge NSYNC for so many years. You know what I'm saying? Like it was always, it was like a touchy subject. He didn't want to bring up NSYNC because he was trying to distance himself so much. And now he's like embracing the fuck out of it. So obviously they did the song for the Trolls movie, which clearly was a publicity stunt just for the Trolls movie to really hype it up by NSYNC showing up to the VMAs and all that kind of stuff. But then he went on the Kelly Clarkson show this week and she asked him about NSYNC and he said, you know, we've been in the studio, so there may be a little something in the future too, is what he teased. And then I saw some other stories come out this week that it's just like background sounds by the guys. Like they're not actually doing some kind of big revamp album. I think he uses them to his advantage without really saying NSYNC. Like this is the Justin Timberlake show. I'll bring them on because it's good publicity, but they got to be in the background.
Yeah, they all know who the star is at the end of the day. They know Justin's the guy. And yeah. I wonder if it's weird if they just accepted it or they're just like, you know what? It is what it is. We're so used to it by now. They're just become like immune to it. But it's show business. And you got to remember at the end of the day, it's about making money. That is our Raw rundown with the top 10 stories of the week. Thank you guys for checking us out. If you're watching us on YouTube, make sure you like and subscribe at that button right down below. If you're listening, give us a review. It's the best thing to do to support this podcast. Follow us on TikTok, Facebook, and Instagram. We're revamping our Instagram and our social media with our TikTok as well. We have a private Facebook group called Off the Record, which is a really cool community where you guys could talk to us. We could talk to you. And we're going to be doing an episode soon where it's about Ask Us Anything. And we'll try to get into that. Follow me at Adam Glenn. Follow Dax Holt at Dax Holt. And I'll see you guys. I'll see you in 2 weeks for Super Bowl. But I'll see you. You know, we'll see you. Dax will see you soon. Later.
A Huda Media Production.